I've got a problem with this stretcher. The brakes aren't holding. They take it out of commission. It's red tagged. It goes down to the maintenance gentleman. The gentleman in the who take care of all the equipment, they fix the brakes. Then it comes back into circulation. So you are correct. We want to make sure errors don't reach the patient. So that's where our whole focus is on capturing early. And we also have to train people on how to see what those things are. So we have to develop a safety culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People have to know it in order to see it, in order to say it, in order to report it. And then we, as leaders, need to respond quickly, address it, and then say, okay, what did we learn from this? It's a very dynamic flow, because you can never really predict. It's like the weather. You never really know what's going to happen, right? One of the things that we've done is we've also put in systems that actually reduce the amount of error that can happen. For instance, we have computerized physician order management so that our doctors are not handwriting orders anymore. You can misinterpret a written order for one drug versus the correct drug. So we've eliminated the handwriting problem in doctor's orders, which has really saved a lot. It's reputed that computerized order systems can save or prevent errors up to 86%. So that's what we put in. We put that in. Then there's all kinds of other systems that we put in place, because if we're human, then we're always going to be human, okay? So what can we do to protect our humanity from making an error? So, for instance, we bought the best intravenous pumps on the market. What does that do? Well, it's programmable so that there are guardrails for the nurses and the pharmacy. So when you choose a medication to enter the dose, you can only choose a certain range of dose, protecting the nurse from entering 1,000 versus 10.
Right.
All right? So
right.
They're guardrail equipment. We have computerized equipment so that we're able to mitigate the errors of being human. We have implemented safety culture concepts such as teamwork. How do you think everybody's knows how to be a team member? Well, we found out through research that no, we really don't learn teamwork in school. You know, we adopted what the military did 30 years ago: crew resource management. Team training. They turned it into medical team training.
Right.
And now they call it Team Steps from the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality down there in Washington, D.C. So we put our team training together to really get people's understanding of their particular shift that day is going to have how many challenges. And how do I know that? Well, I have to get together with my team for 5 minutes and say, let everyone know what's happening today. We have down staff? Do we have a lot of people in the emergency room? Who's going home today? Anybody at fall risk? Who's on intravenous medication that needs a one-to-one monitoring? So each team of patient care folks, they get together in the morning and in the evening. The doctors are joining. The social workers are joining. The supervisors are joining. Because it's so vital, everyone gets to know what's going on. It's called a shared mental model. I get to know what my colleague is doing 14 rooms down the hall. Who do I have to help her or him manage for that day? Mm-hmm. And then if something changes during the day, they call a huddle. It takes less than 60 seconds to say, well, folks, it hit the fan. We thought we had this and that. We don't have either one. Now we have to regroup for a new plan because we're going to deliver care safely no matter what. So there's this culture, teamwork, equipment, investment in technology, people believing that they can work together. People can speak up about any concern they have and get the kind of response that acknowledges, thank you so much for seeing that. Great things to prevent harm to patients.
Do you find that some of the staff have like blinders, where instead of seeing something, they just focus ahead and, you know, rather than taking the whole situation?
Good point. Situational awareness. You just hit on it. That's fantastic. So what we have identified in healthcare in general is that there's a lot of pressure on people to get their jobs, their tasks completed. And it can create tunnel vision when you've got many things mm-hmm. to do. So what we teach in our team steps and what we open up the conversation at briefings every morning and every evening is that what else do we need to know? So one of the things we are cultivating is a broader worldview so that I am not just walking in and I have a small little tunnel of tasks I have to do. If I, Stephanie, who's not in nursing per se, I don't do the clinical care anymore, I'm going to walk up on, say, 5 South, one of our nursing units, and I'm walking by a patient's room, and that call light has just gone off. My responsibility is to go in and address that person and say, hi, I'm Stephanie Dougherty. I'm the director of patient safety. I just noticed your call light is on. What can I do for you? So my situational awareness has to be broader.
Right.
So we teach that people need to respond to call lights, answer quickly, see what's going on around you. Do we sometimes fall into tunnel vision? We do. But you know what? We're developing that kind of coach me. It's kind of like a coach me attitude. So if I see a doctor walk out of his room of the patient and he forgot to wash his hands, I gently tap the shoulder, say, hi, doctor, you remember me. Hey, listen, would you mind just washing your hands? I had to do the same thing. Somebody had to remind me yesterday. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Forgot to do that. You know what I mean? Because people are busy. So
right.
We really want to create this environment where we're able to coach each other, because that's the kind of caring atmosphere we want to work in. You know, are we perfect? By no means. But we see our infection rates going down and our fall rates going down and all these measures that are indicators of things that are not okay in other hospitals, all of these measures of patient outcomes are going down closer to zero, because what is our goal? Zero harm for our patients. That's our goal. In surgery, just say, we have all of our doctors and nurses and technicians, everybody in the OR suite stops, pauses, and actively confirms, is this the right patient? Is this the right procedure? Which side are we working on? What are we expecting to happen? Do we need any other equipment in the room before we begin? They do a quick inventory.
Right, right.
So there's this timeout procedure that occurs in all of our procedure areas, even on the regular patient floor. Say a doctor has to do a little procedure at the bedside, not in the OR. We still follow that great timeout teamwork behavior because it verifies we're in the right room. We're going to go to the correct side of the lung. We're going to take out this much information, you know, this much fluid, and yeah, we've got everything we need right now. Thank you so much. Of course, then we might measure it, we monitor, and we've implemented. That's one of our national patient safety goals. Of course, timeout and universal precaution. I've got to say the environment at Hunterdon is one of the most successful at being a team and being using the national patient safety goals successfully, and open to suggestion and open to coaching, open to learning. That's one of the hallmarks of a great, safe environment. People aren't perfect. We can learn. Are we learning? Yes. At Hunterdon, we're a learning organization. It's really a pleasure.
Well, that's great. What's in place to keep the patients safe?
Patient safety is a thread that almost goes through every single conversation at Hunterdon. So simple things that are important would be identifying your patient. What is your patient ID? May I see your ID? Oh, good, I've got a medication over here. Let me see. First name, last name, and medical record number. Let's make sure it matches you. Oh, yeah, it matches you. Okay, good. That means I'm going to give you the correct medication. So patient identification is critical. The other part is encouraging our patients to learn about prevention. So, for instance, if somebody has to have a little urine catheter in, God forbid, we want to teach their family and them, listen, we're going to take this out of you right away, as soon as we can. But in the meantime, we want you to know and recognize and call us if there's any signs and symptoms of any concern at all. We want you to speak up. We want to take this out soon. So removing Foley catheters, patient identification, medication safety, educating our patients every time they get a new medication or any medication they don't know. Those are patient safety.
Right.
Encouraging our patients to speak up about anything they don't know. because one of the most important things for patients to stay safe is to be involved and stay involved in your care.
It's what's been successful in doing this?
What's been successful in patient safety?
Right.
Well, a whole number of things. We've been recognized by the the Women's Choice for Patient Safety Award. We got that patient safety award. We keep getting awarded for one thing or another in patient safety. One of the things that's been really successful in prevention is achieving a culture where people feel free to speak up. So we have just concluded our safety culture survey. And we have 82% of our staff responded to our safety culture questions. An 82% response rate for a survey on safety, that's a lot. That's high.
Yeah.
All right?
It is.
They say if you get 30 to 50%, you're doing well. We had 82%. So many, many things contribute to this big idea of keeping our patients free from any harm at all. And it's interwoven in the everyday behavior is performance improvement, recognizing risks early, calling them out, speaking up, using our national patient safety goals like patient ID, medication safety, timeout, measuring our safety culture, and being a team because things change. That's one of the things that's unusual about healthcare. It's not manufacturing. You know, it's things that change during the day. In manufacturing, you can pretty much guarantee that what's coming down the line is coming down the line. In healthcare, you could have any number of things crash and burn, and everybody has to respond to the changing environment on a dime. And to do that, you need great teamwork and communication.
Right.
So we're always improving our communication, and we're grooming our culture so that we can be the safest we can be at all times.
When should a patient ask regarding their safety and environment?
Wonderful question. So person comes into a doctor's office, person comes into a hospital. Two different areas, two different environments. So when you're in a doctor's office, you want to be able to know exactly what your doctor is telling you. So basically, what does my chart say? What are my medications? What is it that you need to print for me, doctor, so that I can take this home and study it with my family? That's one thing. A lot of question answering. In the hospital, we like our patients to know that we're washing our hands before we come near them. We're washing our hands after we leave. We want to make sure that our patients ask any questions they need to know about medications because people can forget what they're on when they come in. They're sick. You know, we don't want you to worry. We want you to ask, stay involved. We want to help you with any answers that you have. Always question. If you have any kind of questions or doubts, we're here to help them. One of the really great things that 100 has is something called a whiteboard. It's at the foot of the bed on the wall for each patient. Those whiteboards are filled with great information. Who's your doctor? Who's your nurse? What is your pain medication? What medication are you getting that day? What kind of treatment are you going to be getting? Are you going down for physical therapy? Where else are you going today? It kind of gives you a roadmap of your day. Now, in between resting and eating and sleeping while you're a patient, the whiteboard is there to help the patient and the family so that people can be informed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important safe things for patients anywhere is to be and stay informed because that's the power. The power is in the information. And we want to give the power back to our patients because our patients are the center of the care. They really are.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I've been a patient. I've been a patient on a few occasions. And I'll tell you, it's a scary place to be, you know? So we want to acknowledge the truth, and we want to give the patients and their families every opportunity to succeed while we help them navigate this treatment process, which is, you know, can be a little challenging. You know, you got
right.
This, you got that, you got the other, depending on how sick people are, you know? So it's a huge respect. Huge respect we have for our patients because they are, like I said, that's the center of the care right there. It's why we're there.
Yeah,
no other
it was,
reason.
Last year?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Last year?
What
was
yeah.
Last year?
16.
2 years ago. 15. I was in, we went on vacation and I wound up in Maryland in a hospital for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
Everybody else was out camping and having fun, and, you know. But then they all had to leave, and they all went home, and I was still there, you know.
Wow.
But it was a joy. But the hospital was very good. I mean, you know, they were doing everything that you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
And they were awesome. And when they found out that my family was all up in New Jersey and left and had to go home, they were, you know, just, you know, they were really great. And then, unfortunately, I had to spend 10 days up in the medical center last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing, you know. I looked at it because I knew most of the people, you know, from volunteering there at so many, so long.
Sure.
Also, I worked there for a couple of years on a Saturday in emergency services. So I knew some people there, and, you know, and so, you know, I knew a lot of the nurses, and so, you know, it was like they come in, oh, what are you doing here? You know, that sort of thing. But I can say that, you know, nobody wants to be in a hospital.
No.
I don't care who they
absolutely
are.
Absolutely, you know? Right.
So the more comfortable it is for them, the better it is.
Absolutely.
And not only comfortable that the bed is comfortable, but that they're comfortable knowing that they're going to get the treatment that they need, that they're not going to have, you know, something that they don't need, that sort of thing.
Right.
And that the people that are, well, in my case, I mean, you know, a lot of them I knew, but, you know, some of them I didn't, but a lot of them I did. And, you know, they would... I wasn't confined to the bed, so the nurse would come in and say, you want to get up and walk around? Go ahead, you know, just don't leave the floor, you know. So, okay, I go and walk around, you know. And but, you know, it was, it was, for it to be a situation that I was in, it was a good experience, a wonderful experience compared
caring.
To, you know, yeah, I knew a lot of the people, yeah, they knew me, but that's not the point. The point was the treatment, what you're saying, wash the hands before, after, the whiteboard up on the thing, and the whole nine yards, you know. So, you know, I thought it was, you know, good. And I think that if you have to go to the hospital, as much as you may hate to go, if it's someplace where they're doing these things, you know, I think it makes the stay a lot easier for the patient and the family, you know.
I can't agree more. I mean, it's a challenge to, like you said, nobody wants to go to the hospital. That's not the choice.
Right, right, exactly.
Okay? Absolutely not.
Especially when you're on vacation and your whole family with you.
Especially when you're in Mother Nature camping with the whole gang.
You
know, God, yeah.
And my grandkids were there.
Oh,
you know,
man, that,
else
was
and,
a, that was hard, man.
Yeah.
That was hard. But you're right, Larry. It's that it's how people treat you. It's how people make you feel, yeah, I can go to sleep tonight because they're watching out for me. You know?
Right.
That's huge. Because you need that sense of confidence in the people taking care of you, because as you opened up this program, patient safety is an item because things elsewhere are not safe.
Right.
Okay? I mean, that's why it's a huge conversation on the international scale. So we are constantly grooming and checking and measuring and coaching, educating and inspiring people at Hunterdon because of how important they are. Every person, every doctor, every nurse, every patient care tech, every environmental service worker who is cleaning the surface between patients to get rid of infection, contamination.
Right, right.
I mean, we're talking about people who are phenomenal, people who are transporting from patients from one unit to physical therapy and back. They need to know how to call for a rapid response team in case they pick you up and you're nice and pink, but halfway down the aisle you're turned gray and sweaty. I need a rapid response team, not 444. I need a rapid response team to wherever I am because I don't like the way my patient looks something's changed.
So we, oh, yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So we have all these rapid response team calls in the hospital because we want to detect and respond to any changing condition that might indicate a problem. And you know, 25%, they're fine. 25% of the time, they're fine. But 75% of the time, something needed to be done. How wonderful is it that Hunterdon, everyone, can call a rapid response team? We even cover, we even teach our patients and families. Listen, the doctor was just in. If you still have a problem or concern, you feel like you have something going on, your nurse is in an isolation room, she just came in to see you 5 minutes ago, but suddenly something happened, you dial 444 and you say, I need a rapid response team to my room. We've only had 4 calls last year from patients, but that's 4 calls. People felt
right.
encouraged to pick up
right.
the phone and call.
Right.
And you know what? 75% of those folks needed to go to ICU. Perfect.
Right.
That's what we want. We want to rescue ahead of a bad problem.
Sure.
That's
and, you know,
whole, that's
it's not
message.
Going to stop problems.
No, of course not.
But if it helps recognize them prior to them becoming big issues,
correct.
That's the whole point of it, I
that's
would assume.
Correct. Absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, no one's going to be 100%. I don't care who you are, you know.
Changes of condition are part of being sick.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
We just want to make sure we catch those that need to be immediately acted on so that they don't wind up
right.
having a cardiac arrest somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like you said, we don't want it to get worse. So let's
right.
catch it way early in the change.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, 95% of the time we're catching it already because the doctor and nurse have already been in. Between that time, there's an hour here or an hour there that things could change. That's why we put in another safety measure, rapid response teams. You see something changing, you call right away. We've got more great stories about rapid response teams being saving people because the person saw it. Transporters, environmental
right.
service. We have people sitting in the lobby, right? You're, you know, a regular visitor sitting in the lobby waiting for maybe a family member to come down. And they don't look so good. And somebody will walk by. They saw them an hour ago. They were pink. They walk by again. They're not looking good. They just pick up the phone. They say, listen, I need a rapid response team to the lobby. I'm not sure, but this person does not look well. How fabulous is that?
Sure.
And all of a sudden, that person actually did need some help. They were having too much insulin on board. They forgot to have breakfast. They gave themselves insulin. You know, their blood sugar
right.
went down too low. Okay, 2 glasses of orange juice, you're fine. But what if we didn't recognize
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
What if you fell out and we didn't know what was happening, right? So much better to catch a person's change early
mm-hmm.
so we can intervene and protect them.
Right.
I think that's the whole key with Hunterdon. Hunterdon is very, very protective-oriented, and I think that's one of the things that makes Hunterdon a special place. I've been there for 25 years. I'm getting
God
my
bless you.
I'm getting my 25 acknowledgement at the Service Awards on in March 22, and I'm like, I've been reflecting back, and I'm like, wow, what an opportunity to be with an organization that provides all your education, gives you the opportunities, promotes, you know, you prove and you get promoted. It's just, there's something about Hunterdon that is compelling as an organization, as a visionary place to be. I mean, I tell all the new folks, guys, you landed in a great spot. Everything now that happens for you, it's what you make of it, because everything that you need to grow and prosper is right here, especially in this gorgeous environment that we live in. So,
yeah, I used to go out on rapid response.
Oh, see,
thing to families' houses and stuff.
Yeah,
we'd get called to the emergency room where somebody came in OD'd or attempted suicide.
Yeah, yeah,
and the screener would talk to the person. I'd talk to the families, tell them what's available, and so on and so forth. So, yeah.
Reassuring, reassuring knowledge.
Did that
to
for
have
a while on
help.
Saturdays from 9 to 2.
God bless you.
So
such a fabulous service.
But you mentioned you're getting your 25th anniversary award.
Right.
What awards do you and the organization received?
We have a lot of awards. So Hunterdon is always getting awarded for something. It's pretty amazing. So the list is kind of a long list. I just wanted to look at the Cancer Women's Choice Award for Cancer Care, Cardiac Care, obstetrical care. So these powerful groups of women evaluate your data. You mentioned about measuring. How do mm-hmm. you know? They evaluate your performance data on all kinds of things that make a difference to whether you have great care or you have so-so care. So we have patient safety award, obstetrical award for all the mothers and babies, cardiac care awards. We have local awards. We have our leapfrog awards when we get an A. We're on a B right now. We're getting an A. Working towards that. We have awards for a sharing network. We're one of the top hospitals in the state of New Jersey for the sharing network. There's all kinds of good things we do. You know what I mean? I think that's part of the effort of putting in your care on a day-to-day basis, that when awards finally come around, you're like, yeah, that's us, and then you move on to the next day. You know, it's like you don't sit on your laurel. You have to constantly strive for the best.
Is Hunterdon associated with another hospital or?
Good question. So what we've done, this is kind of like how do I describe the visionary concept of our leadership? So we've had a long tenured vice president and president, right? So our vice presidents, most of them have been there for a long time, and our president has been there like longer than I have, Mr. Wise, right?
Right.
So because the market in healthcare has dramatically shifted to bundled payments, it's no longer going to be fee for service for everything. Which, what does that mean? Well, that means that your entire course of care is going to have one payment on it. Because we're moving out of fee for service and into bundled care, what our strategic plan has been is to say, how many people do we need to cover in Hunterdon in order to stay independent as a hospital? So what does that mean, stay independent as a hospital? Well, that means that we have to be competitive in all of these very expensive things that maybe we don't want to put our money into because it's not going to return on the dollar. So who do we get to partner with, not merge? Avoid that M word. Who are we partnering with that affords us, Hunterdon, the best opportunity to cover all these specialties mm-hmm. someplace else?
Right.
Well, Morristown, after a lot of people, a lot of organizations, multi-system organizations, were very interested in doing business with Hunterdon Medical Center, Hunterdon Healthcare, okay? And our leadership team, Mr. Wise at the helm, and all of our vice presidents, they negotiated. They really vetted these other organizations. And they decided, based on all of the indicators, that Morristown would be the best partner, Atlantic. They'd be the best partner for us, Atlantic System. So we partnered with Atlantic. I think it was in 2013 or 14. I forget which one. And we've been building that relationship outside to cover a lot of people mm-hmm. in Warren and Somerset and Southern Hunterdon and maybe somewhere into Bucks, because one of the things to remain independent is you need to have a lot of people that you're taking care of because of this changes in Medicare, changes in insurance, changes in payment. It's a dicey payment game. So the more you can cover, the more people that you can wrap into your wonderful cocoon as a continuum of care, the better able you are to remain an independent, very, very independent organization. And that's the goal of Hunterdon. And they're amazing how they've made it happen. They're amazing because I believe, if I'm correct, we are the only independent hospital in the state of New Jersey.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and strong. We're in the black all the time. Why? Because we are making efficiency and safety work together all the time, saving millions of dollars because we went from too much variation in what we buy to best product, best deal, best price, one product, not 10, one that works for everybody.
Right. Right.
Great people really saving millions of dollars on that bottom line equation so that we can stay very, very competitive and independent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just remarkable leadership at
right.
our hospital. Really,
right.
it's incredible.
What I found interesting was 7 years ago. I think it was 7 years ago. Maybe eight at the outside, but no longer than that. They were questioning, well, my general practitioner was questioning that I ought to get my prostate looked at because he thought I had prostate, a start of prostate cancer.
Oh, okay.
So I went to the cancer center, and I thought it was amazing because the doctor I spoke to at the cancer center recommended I go to Princeton Hospital because he felt that it was so just starting, that it was so minute, that rather than operate, to go to the doctor that was in Princeton and have insert the radioactive pellets, right?
Yep.
I couldn't
mm-hmm.
think of a word.
Yes, okay.
So I did, and mm-hmm. I went down there and had it done, and it's been, you know, almost, I guess it's seven, a little over about 7.5, almost 8 years, and I'm fine, you know, have no problem. And
No surgery. Treated
well, other than, you know,
well, getting
that inserted, but yeah, I didn't feel a thing, obviously, I was
such
out.
Such a better, that's less invasive,
but, you know,
yeah.
My point was that here they could have operated, and they didn't. They recommended me go to another hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know that the doctor who did the insertion back then is now associated with the Hunter Medical Center,
right.
but wasn't at that point.
Right.
So I thought it was kind of awesome that the cancer doctor here in the Hunter Medical Center recommended me to go to a hospital that, you know,
right.
that would insert the pellets rather than operate.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
It's like that, what is that? Is that Miracle? No, it's not the Miracle. Maybe it's the Miracle on 34th Street. When Macy's referred their customers to Gimbel's because Gimbel's had the train.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and it was like a major thing. The whole point of what you're saying is so beautiful, Larry, because what that speaks to is what's in your best interest.
Right.
What is in Larry's best interest? What is the right thing to do for Larry at that time? That's the guy that did it in Princeton. He
right.
had that procedure.
Right.
He had a great reputation
yeah,
doing it.
Absolutely.
So
he did.
He's referring you to high quality, not just because they can do it, but because they got great results. And look at you now. You
right.
got great results.
Right.
And of
and,
course,
you know, the
we
thing
learn
is too
over
that
time to adopt partnerships with services that we don't have to build ourselves. We partner with those guys. But what have you done? You've come back to Hunterdon. You're going to see your practitioner now.
Right, sure.
Right? You're not going down to Princeton. You're staying here.
I've had the same GP for 25 years
exactly.
or more. You know, so.
And me too. It's like, you know, that's the deal. We want to make sure that we're doing the right thing all the time.
I see my first general practitioner who's now on the staff at a medical center,
oh.
Dr. Coates.
Oh, he's my boss. Dr. Robert Coates.
Yeah, he was my GP.
Oh, that's fantastic.
When he had his own practice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when he took in a couple other doctors, one of them is Vandenberg,
uh-huh.
and I've been seeing Vandenberg for 20-plus years.
Oh, he's great.
You know, so,
oh, yeah.
you know, anyway.
Yep.
But, can't read my writing here. You know.
Wasn't there? Questions about patient safety? What should they do?
Yeah. What is the importance of, what is the importance of having people answer, or what are the awards, you know, the answers that Hunter Medical Center has received? Are they by and large positive or are some negative? Or a combination of both, or
are you talking on the safety?
Like on the surveys and stuff
yes.
that you
good
that
question.
Send?
Absolutely. So, in any organization where you have 3,500 people
mm-hmm.
or so, generally speaking, you're not going to have a level of perfection that's everywhere.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the goal is, the number one goal is, we want you to tell us what your concerns are. So we have these questions, right? We rank higher than the national average in the overall results. So that means we're higher than our bed size in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's over 700 hospitals measured on that one. In overall, do we have opportunity to improve? Absolutely.
Sure. Everybody has
Absolutely.
An opportunity to improve.
Right?
You know.
What's nice, though, is Larry, about the measurement is, when we put teamwork in place, teamwork training, did we see our results? Did we see results that made a difference in this teamwork training? It's kind of like a soft science, right?
Right.
You're teaching people how to talk to each other, teaching people how to get together and do briefings and then huddles and then, you know, use the cuss word, concerned, uncomfortable, and safety issue. That's the only time we cuss in healthcare, right? So is it working or isn't it? Well, over the course of the year since we started, we've seen our teamwork scores go sky high. So we're in good shape. We put something in
good.
Place and it's working, right?
Good.
Do we have opportunities to improve? Sure, we
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely,
right?
Everybody does.
We'd like to encourage more people to speak up and use the incident report system. So what did we do? We evaluated our incident report system. We said, you know what? It's too cumbersome. People are moving too fast. We need a better system. What did our vice presidents do on our board? They said, okay, it's time for a better system. Put a new system in place so we can speak up and record our trends. So they're investing. When somebody speaks up and says, our system isn't good, we need to improve it, the vice presidents and the board are investing to buy new products so we can communicate better about events and concerns that we have. So yeah, we have opportunities, but I got to tell you, it's by nowhere, anywhere near a concern for me as a patient safety expert. I'm thrilled with the results.
Good. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. I mean, we're working. Okay, we're working to improve, but I'll tell you what. It's what we're doing is making a difference, and we have more to do. Great.
Yeah. In the last 2 minutes, is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to mention?
I just am very thankful and grateful to be able to speak to you today and to your audience about Huntington Medical Center and the patient safety program that really encompasses every single person who works there, from
yeah.
the vice presidents to the board to the president to everybody. The only thing I would say is keep talking, keep staying involved. Everyone, just be a partner in your care because you are the center of it. And any questions that you have, you can always reach out to your doctor, to me, Steffi Dougherty, patient safety. Anything you need to know, we're there for you.
And I would suggest anybody that has any kind of procedure or whatever done at the medical center, they send you a survey after. Take the survey.
Absolutely. Tell us what's happening.
Tell us what you tell the hospital what you think.
Absolutely.
And if there's something that you think should be improved upon, let
us
know.
Absolutely. We'll tell you what, those things, every comment is taken very seriously. And there's a lot of great work that comes out of the
right.
feedback.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're getting the feedback from the people who are actually going through it.
Exactly.
You know, it's one thing to look at it from a professional point of view.
You got that right.
And it's another, you know, to look at it from the patient's point of view.
You got that.
Know.
Absolutely right.
And, you know, it's just, like I said, when the doctor in the cancer center recommended I go to another hospital,
for a procedure,
for a procedure that by another
that
doctor
yep.
to do, I thought was pretty awesome. You
it
know,
is. It speaks
scared
to
the hell out of me to, you know, thinking about it. But, you,
but
know.
It, you know, it speaks to the quality, the integrity,
right.
and
exactly.
the caring of the people
Absolutely.
That are at Hunter.
Absolutely.
So, kudos. Kudos
you know,
to all.
So if anybody wanted to reach out to get hold of you,
sure.
How was there a phone number?
Absolutely. So it's 788-6100. That's the main hospital number. And you can just ask for Steffi Dougherty. Or my extension is 3090. So either way, operator can get you just as easily to me as
okay.
direct dial. So looking forward to it. Anybody who has a question or a comment, love to hear from them.
Okay, Steffi, thank you so much for coming on. Hour flew by, actually. thank you so much for coming by, and
thank you.
I'll probably see you on Friday when I at the main gate there.
I love it. That's great.
All right.
Thank you, Larry.
People stay healthy, and same time, same station next week. And stay in if you can tomorrow because of the snowstorm coming. Take care.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt. Radio News with Jason Wirt.
There was a conversation I had with a Libyan leader while I was trying to stop Libya.
Well, many Democrats and liberal media outlets are slamming President Trump for saying he was wiretapped by the Obama administration. Former Democrat Congressman Dennis Kucinich was wiretapped by the Obama administration.
Vice President Mike Pence is out promoting the Republican health care plan.
President Trump giving states like Kentucky, like Indiana, giving states like Kentucky, like Indiana, resources and flexibility, the resources and flexibility, care programs, their health care, the American way.
For more news, join us online at usaradio.com.
Hi, it's Angie Austin with Daybreak USA.
Hi, it's Angie Austin with Daybreak USA.
If you're like me, you want really delicious, safe drinking water for your family, for your kids in particular. A report from the Environmental Working Group warned that 218 million Americans are exposed to cancer-causing tap water, on top of which a Harvard study showed unsafe levels of harmful toxins in the drinking water. And if you're concerned about your health, there's a new solution. The Alexa Pure pitcher reduces up to 99.9% of tap water.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We should take a pause, try to solve as many of the problems on both Medicaid and the individual insurance market in this bill in the House, and then allow the Senate to take its work up.
Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton appearing on ABC this week saying the Republicans in the House need to slow things down on the health care bill. House Speaker Paul Ryan appeared on CBS's Face the Nation. He said the opposite.
Obamacare is collapsing. If we just did nothing, washed our hands of the situation, we would see a further collapse of the health insurance markets. So we feel an obligation to step in front of that collapse and replace this law with one that works, that has more freedom.
White House advisor Kellyanne Conway suggesting the surveillance of President Trump's campaign headquarters may have gone beyond the wiretapping the president has alleged. She tells a New Jersey newspaper The Record surveillance could come through such things as phones, TVs, or even microwaves. USA Radio News.
All right, water. We've heard about problems in Michigan and other places, and we know about that Harvard study that showed that 33 states have unsafe levels of harmful toxins in their drinking water. And let's be honest, when you travel, sometimes water just tastes plain weird. Haven't you ever gone on a trip and you taste the water and it's like, ew, you're just not used to whatever's in that water? Well, the Alexa Pure Pitcher reduces up to 99.9% of 92 contaminants, things like chlorine and chromium-6, lead, pharmaceutical drugs that get into the water, and more. It tastes so good, the water that goes through this pitcher. We keep it right on the counter because we don't like our water chilled, so it just sits there right next to the faucet. We fill it up. It's so simple to use. Go to waterwithangie.com, waterwithangie.com, or call 888-440-8150. You know, after that Harvard study came out that showed that 33 states have unsafe levels of harmful toxins in the drinking water, I wanted to make sure that my family was getting pure drinking water. Alexa Pure Pitcher, check it out, waterwithangie.com, or 888-440-8150.
A new survey showing a large number of Americans have been impacted by cancer.
A CBS News poll showing 54% of Americans say they or someone in their immediate family have at some time been diagnosed with it. On the bright side, more than 60% of those surveyed believe it's somewhat possible they'll see a cure for cancer in their lifetimes. I'm Chris Barnes.
The survey comes on the heels of former Vice President Joe Biden calling on tech innovators to focus on the fight against cancer. The former vice president made the plea during a speech at the South by Southwest conference in Austin, Texas over the weekend. Biden lost his 46-year-old son, Beau, to brain cancer in 2015. If you're living in the northeastern part of the United States, this message is for you.
This storm system will deepen rapidly as it travels up the East Coast overnight and during the day Tuesday.
Many places in the Northeast calling for anywhere between a foot to a foot and a half of snow from this rare late March storm. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is putting to rest any rumors that he's going to be running for the Senate. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The former California governor said on his Facebook page over the weekend that he will not be campaigning for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Senator Dianne Feinstein. Schwarzenegger says he's deeply flattered by all of the people who have approached him about running recently, but he says his focus will now be on bringing sanity back to Washington through redistricting reform. Feinstein's up for re-election next year, but she'll be 84, and there are rumors that she may retire. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
Daylight savings time causing a lot of people to still be a little tired, even though it's one day later. But it's also reigniting a time controversy in Michigan. Here's Chris Barnes.
Currently, Michigan is split with half of the state in the eastern time zone and the other half in central. State Representative Peter Lucido is a sponsor of a bill that would keep Michigan on eastern standard time all year round. And he says of the concept of daylight saving time,
I understand during war times they thought that this would change and save us all a bunch of energy and save us money. And it actually didn't. It actually cost us more because of the darkness that we had to turn the lights out in the house.
Staying on eastern standard time would put Michigan in the same time zone as New York during the winter and the same time zone as Chicago in the summer. I'm Chris Barnes.
For more news and analysis of today's headlines, visit westernjournalism.com. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The weather this afternoon is supposed to be mostly sunny with a high near 36, light southeast winds. Tonight, snow, mainly after 2 a.m. And it says the snow could be heavy at times, and from everything I've heard, it's going to be heavy. And a low's around 25. It's calm winds becoming northeast, 5 to 9 miles per hour after midnight. Chance of precipitation, they have 80%, and everybody else is telling me 100%, so... At Tuesday, snow. And they say it could be heavy at times. Yep. High near 30, blustery with north winds 18 to 21 miles per hour with gusts up as high as 34 miles an hour. And there's a 100% chance it's going to snow. So, and the new snow accumulation could be anywhere from 10 to 16 inches. Tuesday night, it's a chance of snow. I can talk. Mainly cloudy with a low around 21. Northwest winds 8 to 10 miles an hour, and a chance of precipitation is 30%. Wednesday, chance of snow again, mostly cloudy with a high near 31, and not too much snow accumulation, less than a half inch possible. Wednesday night is mostly cloudy, and Thursday is mostly sunny.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hunter Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunter County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Stephanie Dougherty. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Stephanie is the Director of Patient Safety and Security at the Medical Center. And I always ask everybody, that's just a curiosity of mine, how you got involved in this.
That's a wonderful question, Larry. Thank you. I'm a nurse by background. So I did a lot of nursing, critical care nursing. And then I was asked to become the risk manager back in 1995. And I loved it. I fell right into it. Began to learn quite a lot about the other side of healthcare, all the different kinds of administration things. And then in 1999, the Institute of Medicine came up with they published a document called "To Err Is Human," meaning we're all human, and so you're going to make errors. And what they did was they exposed the underside of healthcare. Back in 1999, that there are preventable errors that happen in healthcare, and what organizations can do, could do at that point, and continue to do to achieve zero harm for our patients. Well, I jumped on that, and our leadership said, "Stephanie, would you like to be the Director of Patient Safety?" And I said, "Thank you very much. Yes, I would." And I've been doing patient safety and being the patient safety officer ever since 1999.
Wow.
Yeah. it's been very exciting, actually.
I would imagine, you know, like anything, people make mistakes.
Sure.
And problem is when hospitals make mistakes, it could have devastating outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously hospitals try not to make mistakes.
Of course.
Or if the mistakes they make are minor rather than major, it would be most helpful. How do they, just out of curiosity, I don't know,
sure.
You know, but how do they, any hospital, whether it's the medical center or anyone, you know, how do they keep track of any mistakes that were made?
Well, that's a great, great question. So mistakes happen, and what we'd like to do in healthcare that's really in the front of this topic, like Hunterdon, we ask and coach and encourage all of our employees and our doctors, all our staff, to speak up. So we speak up about potential error, things that could cause a problem, things that might be a little risky. Anything that is of concern, not only do we want them to speak up, we want people to say, we see it, we say it, we fix it, and we share it. What did we learn from what we just found? Okay? So we do multiple ways of speaking up. One is we talk to our directors and managers. We use an incident report system. We do briefings in the hospital. Everybody gets together in the morning with all the different units. They have briefings. What are the concerns of today? What do we have to watch out for today? Are there any lessons we need to learn from yesterday? So we have briefings throughout the whole organization. The incident report is great, but really what we do is we talk about people reaching out and calling and talking right there, right now. If they see a spill on the ground, they don't wait for an incident report to enter. They talk about, they go get a piece of paper and they mop it up and they call somebody to do a better job mopping. So there's this energy that goes with prevention of harm that really capitalizes on everyone being a patient safety advocate, your patient safety champion. That's what we all are. We have eyes and ears, and we're collaborating all the time. So that would be one of the answers to your question on how do we capture things.
Right. And hopefully that some of the errors are small rather than large.
Right.
But that doesn't mean a small error couldn't become a large error.
Correct. Right. So what we do is we want to tip the scale of information towards a near miss rather than an actual harm event. So if we know that there's a piece of equipment that we're doing workarounds, all right, something that maybe something that breaks might be a little rusty or they're not really quite holding as well. That's a near-miss condition, because if the brakes don't right. hold, what could happen? We don't want to go there. So what we do is we our staff